I wonder if you ever feel like the Bible is just a little too abstract, a little too spiritual or even emotional to actually help you in your everyday stressed out, overwhelmed, dealing with conflict, teaching your kids, talking with your husband, going to bed late, real life. I know that I struggle with that sometimes. And that's why today I am excited to dive a little deeper into the Sermon on the Mount together and take a look at a few of the biblical keys that we can pull out from this incredible sermon that Jesus gave to help us deepen and strengthen our family relationships, our marriages, our relationships with our kids. They can feel sometimes a little disconnected from what we're reading and thinking about, and even sometimes what we're praying through when we read the Bible. But the Lord delights for our relationships to glorify Him and to make us happy. And that's, my friend, exactly what we are here to talk about today. So welcome back to the Love Your People Well podcast. I believe this is episode 190, which probably means I should get planning for a super fun 200th episode celebration. But today, we just have a little conversation on the Sermon on the Mount, and I am so glad you are here to be a part of this, not really deep dive, it's a little bit of an overview of the beginning. Is it chapter, a little bit moving into the second chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. But if this is your first time tuning in, I am so glad you are here. And my name is Jess, and I am the host of the Love Your People Well podcast. I am a marriage and family therapist, a pastor's wife, a mom of four, and I am very passionate about God's word and putting Him first. And then enjoying the relationships and the time that He gives me in this world. And I'm passionate about that for you as well, my friend. There are so many things to be distracted by and overwhelmed by in this life. But when we boil it all down, you're listening to this podcast because you want the same thing I do. You want a happy marriage. You want to parent joyfully and purposefully, and you want to enjoy it. You want to keep Jesus at the center of it. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, we see some very helpful keys. I mean, really just core elements of strong family relationships. So I'm not going to read through the full scripture because we're talking through today several of the sections of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, last week, we talked about the very opening of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the Beatitudes, the section where Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit and those who mourn and those who are meek. And if you are in our Patreon community, a part of our Faith Fiver Club over there, hopefully you have already grabbed your workbook where we are doing a 45-day challenge, really diving into those Beatitudes and understanding them and really living them out, turning them into action steps for our everyday life and our family relationships. And if you're not a part of that community, it's not too late to join and to grab that workbook and really to take it from abstract spiritual ideas into real life action steps. But that's only the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus goes on then, this is coming from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, to talk about how we, His followers, are salt and light. He talks about how He has come to fulfill the law. And then, where we are really going to focus today, He has these probably pretty famous sections on redefining, that's not quite the right word, because He's not actually changing the Old Testament law. He's fulfilling it. He's helping the people to actually understand it in the way that God intended all along. And so he talks about how it's not simply a matter of do not murder, but don't even hate people. Don't have quarrels and don't have that negativity in your relationships. He helps expand the understanding of adultery, that it's not just committing adultery, but it's even looking lustfully at someone. And he talks about divorce. He talks about making oaths, fulfilling to the Lord the vows that you have made, and actually not even making oaths and vows because God is so much bigger, so much better. He is the only one able to fully and completely fulfill his vows and his promises. And Jesus talks about, he goes on then to talk about how you have heard it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And yet, as Christians, we are called to not resist evil people, but to turn the other cheek, a famous phrase that is indeed right there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. He talks about loving our enemies, praying for the people who may even be persecuting us. And even he goes on then at the very beginning of chapter 6 to talk about giving to the needy. And even that is not the end of the Sermon on the Mount. But we, for today, those are the sections that we're going to give that big picture overview to. Because when I read through, it's almost that entire chapter there in Matthew chapter 5, trickling into chapter 6, there are some summary principles at work here in each of these sections that I see play out all the time in the counseling room. As I said, I am a marriage and family therapist, and that is centered not just on how do we communicate well and how do we get along, but how do we live out the gospel and the calling of Christ in our daily lives together, in our marriages and in our families. And so we see here in these sections very different topics: murder, adultery, divorce, taking oaths, loving your enemies, giving to those who are needy. Those are different topics, but they share some very central principles that I believe are the keys to helping us have those strong family relationships. So there are three that I really want to highlight right now. And the first is, in each of these sections here in the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus basically telling the people to watch their heart. And if you want strong family relationships, my friend, we need to watch our hearts. He talks about hatred. It's not just murder, it's hatred. And even from there, our emotions are on a spectrum, all the way from, from happy and joyful all the way to filled with bitterness and hatred. But even just that emotion we might call anger that might lead to hatred and murder. And we think, oh, I'm so far away from that. Of course, that's not a part of our family relationships. But what about impatience? What about frustration? Maybe annoyance? Those are still a part of the spectrum of that hard emotion that will ruin your family relationships if you let it grow. And as I read through these sections where Jesus is talking about, you know, how it's not as simple as, well, don't kill anybody, don't sleep around, don't get a divorce, don't hate your enemies. He's really telling us that we need to be very intentional and very careful about where our heart is at. What emotions are we struggling with in our relationships? And if we think even there about lust or getting a divorce, and, you know, what are we desiring? What are we pursuing? Is it healthy? Is it going to bless and nourish and deepen our family life? Or is it going to create a wedge in our marriage? Is it going to breed more and more discontent in our parenting? We have to be careful to watch our heart, to notice when our emotions or our desires or our even just that kind of instinct or natural tendency, like holding on to the stuff we have instead of giving it generously, or hating our enemies instead of loving them, praying for them, helping them. That goes against that natural human instinct. But as it says later on in the New Testament, as Christians, we do not live by the flesh, that natural human instinct. We live by the Spirit. But if we're not watching our heart, we're not aware of those things we're struggling with, we're going to walk down a path that does not deepen our relationships. And sometimes we only notice it after it really is a big problem. Let me interrupt our conversation just for a moment to invite you to join me over in the Faith Fiverr Club. This is our private community where every month we go deep into a different topic of family life. With a private podcast, a personal workbook, month by month, encouragement and resources, join us at patreon.com/loveyourpeoplewell. All right, let's get back to our conversation. So that is one of the first biblical keys that I think we see here in these early sections of the Sermon on the Mount. And the next one that I want to highlight is this incredible importance that the Lord puts on holding firm to your commitments. If we want strong relationships, we need to follow through. We need to be dependable and trustworthy. And maybe we see that most clearly here when Jesus talks about divorce and he talks about taking vows and oaths, because he's very clear that our yes needs to be yes and our no needs to be no. And he is giving some, he gives some grace and some clarity around divorce. Obviously, that is a big potentially hot button issue in our culture today. And it's not like he's saying never, ever, ever, there's no reason under the sun that could ever happen. He acknowledges there are exceptions to the rule here. There is the reality of sexual immorality, which can lead us to perhaps appropriately step back from a vow that we have made. And I think you could have a pretty good back and forth theological discussion about our oaths. Well, what if we've made an oath that is actually quite cruel or foolish, and to follow through on it would cause a lot of harm? Well, sure, we can look back and say, whoops, shouldn't have made that, but now that we have, what do we do? I don't mean to say that Jesus is saying we should hold firm to each and every commitment and there are never, ever, ever going to be appropriate exceptions to that. That would be a deep and personal interaction with the Lord, prayerfully thinking through whatever situations might be going on. But in a general sense, in the vast majority of our daily interactions with our kids, with our husbands, with our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers, we need to follow through on the things that we commit to if we want to enjoy strong relationships. There is nothing more frustrating, nothing that will break trust faster than saying you will do something that's really important to someone and then not doing it. When we fall short in that way, and we will to one degree or another, we all struggle, we all stumble, and there is obviously in the Christian life room for and a necessity for apologies and confession and forgiveness. All of that needs to be included if we want these strong relationships. But Jesus is really highlighting here that when we make a commitment to someone, like we do in our family, we need to follow through. We need to let our yes be yes. And I think sometimes when we get really busy, especially, it's very easy for us to justify our own actions when we've changed our mind, or maybe we've gotten new information and we've realized, ooh, I told my kid that we would do this, but that's actually not going to be the best plan for this afternoon, or I really can't follow through on that activity we said we were going to do. And we know the reasons, and maybe they're very, very valid. But that is going to impact the relationship. And so we need to be careful about that, careful about what we commit to, careful about how, when we might break that commitment or change that commitment. How do we communicate that? Is that actually appropriate? How do we move forward and heal and restore the relationship? One of the biblical keys for strong family relationships is those commitments that we make to one another, the big ones and the small ones. Following through and handling it well to bring restoration and healing and forgiveness when we fall short of that. And the third key that I want to highlight, and again, this is obviously not a deep dive into a verse by verse looking at the Gospel of Matthew here in chapter 5, but I think we see a common theme through these sections on murder and adultery and loving our enemies and giving that we want to and we must treat others as we want to be treated. And if you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, that's going to sound familiar because in just a short little bit, Jesus is going to say that, the golden rule, as we call it. But it's right here in every section of the Sermon on the Mount. Treat others as you want to be treated. You don't want people to hate you. You don't want people to live in a state of impatience or frustration with you. So don't do that with your husband or your kids. If that is a normal emotional tone in your family, you need to deal with it. Do something about it. I've got a devotional all about emotional control over at loveyourpeoplewell.com. You need to have conversations. You need to be praying about that. You don't want someone in your family to be lusting after other people. You don't want your husband to be lusting after other people. You don't want your kids to be lying to you and breaking their promises to you. We need to treat others as we want to be treated. And if we're called to love our enemies, how much more are we called to love our family? And even there, thinking, as I said, it goes into chapter 6 here about giving to the needy. Now, we know from many sections of scripture that the Lord wants us to be generous. He wants us to share. We're not only thankful for the things he gives us, but we share them freely. We hold them with open hands. We're not living our life all about being righteous and making a big deal about the things that we do. We simply want to live out what the Lord calls us to. And at the beginning of chapter 6, he's telling the people that it's not just about giving to the needy and announcing it and making sure everybody knows this great thing you're doing, but that you should do it in secret because God the Father sees that and he rewards that. And how much more in our family relationships do we have the opportunity to do that? To treat our husband and our kids like we hope that they will treat us. I hope that every day my husband is making decisions with me in mind. He's doing, you know, taking care of the dishes maybe, or he's sending me a text message, or he's saying yes or no to a different event that's coming up while thinking about, is Jess going to enjoy that or be available for that? Or, you know, what's she going to think? I don't need to always know that that's in his mind, but I hope it is. I want it to be. And the Lord tells us here, that is how we should be giving to others. That is how we should be loving others, is not for the recognition, not for the thank you or for the celebration of it, but simply because God sees it and he honors it and blesses it, and it strengthens our relationships. In everything we do in our homes, as we're trying to enjoy these people and the time that we have with them, it goes so fast. There are so many distractions, but we want to soak it up. And we can do that well if we watch our heart and pay attention to the things that are stealing our joy or stealing our attention, if we hold firm to our commitments and we follow through on the things we say that we will do with our husband, with our kids, and if we treat them how we hope that they will be treating us, with those same emotions, with that same care, with that same loving kindness. These things are not necessarily easy. I mean, they sometimes sound easy on paper, but living it out when your husband is late coming home from work and he didn't call, or your toddler colors all over the walls during quiet time, that I'm sure has never happened in our household. I mean, our family will do things that annoy us or that hurt us, but we can still enjoy a strong relationship as we are intentional about how we handle those emotional reactions, how we talk it through, and how we continue to show love even when it does not feel easy. Now, I want to remind you, friend, or maybe if you're here for the first time, I'm not reminding you, I'm just telling you, but I want to point out that I have several free resources that might help you live out some of these keys. You can head over to loveyourpeoplewell.com/free, and you might want to dive deeper into scripture yourself, where the free 45-day Bible and prayer challenge might be a great place to start to build that habit of spending time in the Word and in prayer. There's a free ebook over there as well that walks through 5 tools every mom needs. It's called Building Your Mom Toolbox, to just kind of figure out if your family is stuck in a rut or you just, you know, things are kind of cycling through and it's not really where you want it, to help you figure out what's going on, how to change it, and then make that change happen so you can reconnect. But there are others there as well. I would really encourage you to grab some free resources. Check out the devotionals over there at loveyourpeoplewell.com. Like I said, there's one particularly about emotional control. That's one of the more popular ones there. And I'll give you a final reminder as well, an invitation to join us in the Patreon community. It supports the show and you get so many great perks. There's a private podcast over there. And right now we are walking through a 45-day challenge for living out the Beatitudes, those blessings, those 8 blessings from Jesus that kickstart the Sermon on the Mount. So I would love for you to join us there over on Patreon. The links and all of that will be right, if you just scroll right down, right there in your podcast app, you can grab those. But my friend, that's all I wanted to highlight today, a few of those biblical keys from these early sections of the Sermon on the Mount. And we will be back next week with more biblical encouragement and practical strategies, continuing to walk through right now the Sermon on the Mount, applying that to our family life so that we can experience the joy and the abundance and the blessing that the Lord has for us in our marriages and our parenting. So friend, I'm so glad you're here. I hope that you will share this podcast with a friend. Leave a review. That is such an encouragement to me and it helps the show grow. And it takes, you know, 30 seconds right there in your podcast app. And make sure to come back next week because we will be right here continuing to help each other on this journey of motherhood and marriage and enjoying family life. So until then, hugs and blessings to you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. I'm so glad you joined me today for this episode of the Love Your People Well podcast. If you found it helpful or encouraging, please leave a written review to encourage me, but also to help the show grow. You can even copy the link to this episode and text it to a friend. Don't forget to grab all your resources at loveyourpeoplewell.com. And join us inside the Faith Fiverr Club for extra perks every week.